when that was all right. But of course, we could only go at 4 knots because we was fighting at the stern breaking broth. And anyway, it was action stations middle of the night, and they got the floodlights all over on the she had broken the tow, and the stern had gone floating off, and the rest of her, the other two thirds of the boat, was upright, dead upright. And of course, we had all sorts of nets and stuff up the sides, both sides, port and starboard, trying to catch anybody's and all that sort of thing. And it was a hell of a job because the sea was running so fast and the big boulders, and they'd been pumping oil out as well to try and calm it, but it didn't work any makeouts. And they managed to fish 3 men out, but they were already dead. And I've got a little snap there with a funeral where we buried them at sea.
Right, yeah.
But it's only very good, it's only a little one.
Yeah.
But you might be able to do something with it.
Yeah, okay.
And somehow, I hope, it might find the parents if they, you know, another day. But anyway, that broke. We picked up these 3 men, the dead ones, and then the other man, we got a big seaman, he's a big 6-footer bloke, you know, big bloke. He said, "Give me one of the meat hooks, the beast screen." And he got this big hook, and he was hanging out the net over the side, and trying to, if any come near, he tried to hook them. Anyway, he finally caught one and pulled it out, and it was a skipper, Lieutenant Commander Maud, I think his name was. And they pulled him out on the net, and he was as drunk as a coot.
Drunk?
Yeah. And when, of course, that was all right, they took it for what it was. But he told them afterwards that he was going down with the ship, as he should have done. Well, no, not should he done, but anyway, he was intent on doing that, and his hands were so handy he couldn't pull the trigger, and it was froze up, and that's how he managed. Oh, Lofty got a medal for that, for pulling him out. That was on there. And then this other one, when we was, there was another snap there, and I can't quite make it out, but it looks to me as though the Ashanti, when we was towing this Eskimo, or which one it was, we was on listening watch, because we was only do 4 knots, and so everybody was on deck listening or watching, wait for torpedo runs, you know. And of course, when all this happened and the ship broke away, and that was that, they lost about 30 or 40 on the main crew, what was on it, and lost nearly all of them, because all they could do was keep trembling up. We could see them through the spotlights, you know. But there was nothing you could do to help them. But they had them. But on this, because we'd been through a fairly big convoy, I think, on that one, old Churchill was waiting for us at Scapa. And we just made it. And he was leaving Scapa as we pulled in. And he stood on the bottom steps of the ladder, and he was, you know, 2 fingers like this. "Jolly good done, my man," he said, "a double top for you lot, today.
That'd be very popular. Yeah.
I always remember that.
Yeah.
We paid, you know.
Right, so back to submarines, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, because that was a diversion about Eskimo and the day. Yeah, so back to submarines. So you went to training class at Gosport.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
129, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I got your training class notebooks here. Beautiful handwriting, beautiful drawings. I recognise a lot of the drawings from my own submarine training class. Nothing much had changed by 1961 when I went to submarines. They remain much the same, really. So, yeah.
We got on down there very well. Class 129, I think it was. And they pumped it into us fairly well, I think. You know, you didn't have it easy. You were doing early morning session, then forenoon, afternoon, and evening. So they got you going. And then after a while, I think the first one we went down in was an American submarine. Two giant wheels, that's all I can remember of it. But it didn't look, you didn't realise what it was at all, really, on that. And it went down. It was just a matter of doing something that day, you know, and that was it. And then, of course, we got on better to things then. And, of course, you had the instructors in the classroom and doing right. And I didn't mind that, you know, with all the, what you call it, the tanks and...
Ballast tanks,
and all that. Because I was number five main ballast.
Main vent, number five main vent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, that was me. And I had one or two rows on the,
the hydroplanes?
Yeah, hydroplanes, that's it.
Keeping depth.
That's it. And, of course, I had a cup for everybody, the office come and all,
mm-hmm.
and do that. But, I had quite some good times on that. But we had one of the funniest ones was, where did I go for a spare crew, I think it was. Somewhere.
What, from training class?
Yeah, from training class.
Yeah.
And it went up there, on there, and then, I think...
Yes, you went to Cyclops and Ambrose. Yeah, Cyclops it would be. Cyclops, which is a depot repair ship. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then I went from there, I think the next move from there, I was sent to... The thrasher, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was getting on for Christmas. And of course we were always covered.
This was, let's just get the date right. This would be Christmas 1944. It was getting towards the end of the war, wasn't
That's it?
Was it,
right.
it Christmas 44? Yes. 1944?
Yeah.
It might be three, wouldn't it? You're talking about Christmas 1943, possibly, yes.
Yes. And anyway, they hadn't got a chef, or the chef was going on Christmas leave, and they sent me to the thrasher with an old mate, and to do what we could for Christmas, you see. And I don't know what officer it was, but he'd got a bar of chocolate and wondered if we could make a Christmas cake. And I said, well, I think we can manage that. And so we done that and made some mince pies and that and all that. So that was all right. And he allowed us, because we was tied on the buoy up in,
Were you east coast or west coast? Were you on the
west coast?
On the west coast. So you'd be up in the Clyde?
Yeah.
On Loch Long or Loch Goyle or one of the locks up there, yeah?
Yeah. There's a well-known owner, there's two of them went there. There was two places up there we used to tie up. But anyway, we give them a good day.
Well, Rossi Bay was one of them.
Yeah, Rossi is one of them.
Yes, yeah.
And we gave the lads a good time, like, you know, and all the rest of it. He let off Springer take some beer aboard with it then, which not he should have done, but we anyway we made it. They made a Christmas for us, and then I think that he'd done away with it. The other his shape didn't come back or something, and he called me one day, and he said, "Chef," he said, "We're moving soon." He said, "I'll come to see if you stay with us, you see. And would you volunteer?" I said, "I didn't volunteer for anything, sir." He said, "That's very good." He said, "You got drafted." So that done, I was with the Thrashers then. And then I'd done all things not quite perfect. But we used to do a training camp, you know, at the locks and that, right at the fish now and again and all that. And they were still messing about up there. And we'd done either one or two small trips, you know, to bed it all day. And then it became obvious that the skipper was in for bigger things. And of course, the Cellini come into it then. She was being built. And so we went down to Birkenhead, and that was it. The keel was put there in.
And so the skipper took you with him?
Oh, yeah.
To Cellini? Yeah.
And we were in digs down there, and we had to go down to the every day, down to the docks. And see what was happening and learn all about it.
So she would have been built in Camel Lairds, probably. Yes.
And we had one or two lots of mishaps there of a sort. We had to have a revolver, you see, a 45 revolver and so many rounds in case anything happened along at night time and that. And it was a bit long nights and that. They didn't know quite what to do with themselves. So now and again they used to do a jam jar or something in the toy and fire a few shots off. And then it blew up to a bit of a thing. Some bloke come up to a dockyard mate or something and said, "What are you doing making that, you know, shooting that bait and all the rest of it?" He says, "Nothing wrong with that," he said, "only a tin." He said, "Is it wrong there?" "Yes," he said, and he pulled the trigger. And old Scotty, he'd gone, he'd upped it. And then another, somebody had got the revolver on, and he was finished his watch. He should have handed it over, and he forgot it and took it and then went in the pub. Somebody said to that, "Is that loaded?" He says, "Yes, backwards." Straight up through the bloody ceiling. So that was another bad on us up there. Then they counted the bullets, what we should have, and we were down to three, I think. So that caused a bit of a thing there. We had one of the lads, he got misbehaving, I forget what he'd done, but hadn't come back from Leeds or something, and he got to do some jankers, so I don't know how I got called in for that, but we got to take him from the dockyard and take him across the river and where he was going to be in Clink.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you're in charge of this patrol, go across there. So we get across there, and he says, "My girlfriend lives just down there. Got time to just put two or three stitches in." I says, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, she'll put some straight stitches in and put two or four pegs in there. If you know, she won't be long." I said, "You better be bloody quick, else Molly should be being with you." Anyway, he got away with it, and I put him in and that. And that was it one day. But the other thing about doing that up there, when we got in there, in Camel Heads, we had any rum and that stuff like that in the first aid kit and that, we had to basically take over the river from Birkenhead up into Liverpool. And they painted the bottles of jars of rum, gallon caskets, wouldn't they? Painted them all over, so I don't know, no end of pencils and that, doing it all up, make sure it was there. There was one missing when he got it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Everybody was under suspicion for a while. Yeah. That was another one up there. We had quite a nice little drive up there, up there, and then when we got towards the Cellini was getting up to her, you know, being built. She was going, we'd done all the things testing her. In Loch Long and that.
Yeah, done all the sea trials.
Throwing a good depth charge at you.
Yeah. That's a good test, that, because if you don't sink, you're okay. But if you do sink, they got it wrong, didn't they?
That's right. But you can have a good day in a wake, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm forgetting if it was 800 or something like that.
I don't think it'd be as deep as 800 for an S boat.
Yeah. Well, it might have been a bit less than 600, but. Anyway, and when that old depth chart come, he says, going, and she made a rock there now on that. But, the other big thing that happened to me up there, the skipper said to me one day, about we're going to have a party, he said, going away party, you see, before we go into Far East. So, he said, I wonder if you would help someone tidy the boat up. He said, because I've got my baby son or daughter or whatever it was, we're going to have him baptized on the boat.
All right, a christening on the boat, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
I forget his name.
One of my children was christened on the submarine.
Yeah.
In the ship's bell, yes.
Yeah. And anyway, he said, if you come up to the wardroom, well, along to the wardroom then, he said, I'll get some drinks ready. He said, and you take them along and put someone in each little table, he said, for the visitors. So I thought, well, it's a bloody dry job, you know. I'll better try one or two. And I did. And anyway, it all come out about. And that was all right. And I didn't had a letter from my mother. And she said, oh, did you see the paper? I said, no. And she said, your submarine up there, they've had a baby christened on your boat, on the one you're on. And where were you? And I thought, well, that's damn funny. And I got so they shut me off in the heads.
You had so much to drink, you couldn't remember it.
No, I couldn't remember any of it. So that wasn't the end of it. Anyway, it went off quite well. I got away with it. And the skipper had said to me somewhere before that, he said, things are not going quite so well, Chef, with you, is it? And I said, well, what's the matter then, sir? He said, you're not a patch as good as what you were, he said. He said, I've got something to say to you. He said, if you think you're going to get away with a draft ship and going further far east, he said, you've got it wrong. Because he said, I'll take you as far as ever I can, and put you ashore, he says. So you're right there twice as long. So he said, tell me what's the matter. Well, I didn't know whether to tell him or not. But all the lads were up there, you see. And there's some of the coxswain and all the rest of it. And they were pinching all the food we got to take to ashore to their
families.
And so that when we went out on a day's run, we got nothing to make anything. We're not even a cup of tea half the time. And then it come to a head, and somebody said, the coxswain said, "Well, you got to give them some plum blood duff or something like this." So I said, "Well, you go round then and get a spoonful of sugar from each mess then," which it was you wouldn't get nothing. So the skipper said, "Well, what can we do about that?" I said, "Well, give me the key of the stores and let me make my own, what do you call it, about, meals up then." "Well, we'll try it." And that settled that, so that settled that job. But, so I got that, so he was happy. And then Jimmy come up to me and said, "Chef, I want you to do me a favour." I said, "If I can, sir." He said, "We're going to have a farewell party over in our order." He said, "And the stewards want somebody to come out with the drinks." And I thought, hello, what's happening here? So I said, "After the christening, sir." "I was coming to that," he said. "If you've got to drink," he said, "well, I'll drink when you get back here," he said. On the boat, not at the party. So I got in there over this. They took the boat and took me over. And of course I was going so many pink gins they'd want and somebody else and whatever. And the old CCO said, "I come behind the counter," he said, "and that'll be better for you." So the next bloke come along and he said, "So many gins or whatever it was." So I've done that, put it on the note, and the steward come up and he said, "What did you put down there?" I said, "What, what the drink, so many drinks?" I said, "So much." He says, "Where do you think you could go get a drink from then?" You've got to put an odd one in.
Yes.
You know. And I've done very well because I've finished up with two bottles of whiskey.
Yes. I don't think anything had changed by the time I went to submarines, and the stewards were still loading the bar chips to get their drinks. So that was the farewell party for Celine. So she was sailing for the Far East then, was she?
It was in the Sharp East.
Yes. So that was a long trip out to the Far East, wasn't it? How long did it take you to get out to the Far East?
Well, not too bad, but we had a bit of fun going through the Med and going through the Suez Canal because we had to dive because we got a warning. Of course, you've got no identification, have you?
No.
And so we had to dive quite unaware. So we done that. Mind you, we've done it in stages. Stopped at Port Said and Aden. And then across the Indian Ocean there to go Trincomalee. That's where we went down there. And that wasn't too bad, but coming back on the Vivid, that was a smaller one. There was only 37 crew on there. That took us 16 weeks, I think, to come back.
That was the end of the war?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got doing that, but it was a good passage back because we the skipper used to look, pardon me, let us go up and use a pig's ear, you see, on top, and let us go up there. If it was calm, we could go up there and get down on the platform as well.
The conning tower.
Yeah. So that wasn't too bad.
But Celine, when she got out to the Far East, how many patrols did you do?
Quite a few.
Quite a few. Do you see any action?
Well, didn't see it, but felt it.
You felt it? You got attacked?
Yeah. Well, we started off, they wanted some prisoners.
Who was your... Remind me, what was the skipper's name in Celine again?
Oh, I can't remember his name now.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, but did you carry out any? You were attacked several times.
Yeah, we nearly did. I tried out doing these junks they used to come down, and of course I found out that it was an expensive job to put a torpedo into the junk.
Yeah.
So they decided that they'd crush them or
ram them.
Or ram them, that's it.
Or a gun. Did you not have a gun? No, you didn't have a gun on Selene.
No gun? No, not on that one. Not.
No.
And I did on the Vivid.
Oh.
Yeah. And on the Thrasher. Because it was guns crew on there.
Oh, yeah? So you've done the gun action bit, getting blown out of the out of the tower up onto the gun platform. Yes.
When they he'd say tower number one clip, number two
clips,
and then blow the whistle. 18 foot down, he'd say number four, and up she'd go.
Yeah.
And then in come the water.
Uh-huh. Soak the wardroom.
Yeah, before we got over the top of the ladder.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you got in on the gun platform, I got the breech lock, I got put behind the prodigy. Oh no, I put the prodigy in, and then the breech lock you put it in. And then you got to lay out flat because of the recoil. Because you couldn't have the guards up like that.
No.
Because of the recoil. And then he always told you that if you hang about, he said you'll go without you.
When you dive again, you got to get down before the hatch shuts.
That's right.
Otherwise, you'll be left on top.
I didn't mind that really. I used to like that. I used to have a go at anything if when out the Far East when we were going on patrol, I used to get the permission from the from the chief cook, and I could have the galley to myself for half a day or one day, and cook off as meat as I could. And we used to put that. They weren't refrigerators like we know.
No.
It was oil stuff, wasn't it? But anyway, I used to put tram it full with meat.
And would it last the patrol? Would it be okay?
Because
the galley was minute, very small.
Yeah, very small.
So cooking in Selene in hot weather must have been a nightmare.
It was. The worst part about it was when you were getting it on. If the skipper was in a good mood, and we was in a safe area, he'd let you light a fag off at an hour before time, knowing bloody well there was no air in it, no oxygen in the air. We used to get the. They work quite get all the stuff ready to do the cooking for the meal, and of course, we got to on that.
You used to get all the stuff ready for cooking for the meal.
Yeah. We cook the meal, and then just before, as soon as we dived, all hands changed the bulbs. Red.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you tried a red light.
I've tried doing everything in red lighting, I can tell you. It's a nightmare. I tried navigating. I haven't tried cooking in red lighting, but actually, I know the train smash, which, tomatoes and eggs and bacon in red lighting looks like nothing.
God, crazy. And then the other one was whether you put the slops out when you serve it and come up the ladder. The three of you, and somebody's a bit shaky.
You get all the slops back down the conning tower again. Yes. Yeah.
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 That was all right. Most of the time, I didn't have much trouble because I used to I'd go buy roast meat, Yorkshire pudding, apple tart. Every Sunday, no matter where you
were. Yeah, wherever it was, that was what you had.
They always wanted that. But anyway, I used to, one of the things I used to do was get tin fruit and powdered spuds, and put in a condensed milk in with them, and in with them to stir them up, and that would be that. And one other trick I learnt, what I did, I made it work, and that is, I got onto the skipper and I said, well, you've got that sink for washing up, to do that. I said, I reckon it wouldn't be much trouble to get the tippets to make a heater underneath there, and I can do chips.
Oh.
And I got it.
What are they heated up with?
Eh?
What did they use to heat it?
What did we
use? Yeah, what did the tiffs put to heat it? Just electric or what?
Oh yeah, they put electric to it underneath it.
Must have been a nightmare for safety.
Yes.
Horrendous.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
And they got away with that. That was all right.
The original deep fat fryer.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the sink.
Yeah. I bet they got proper ones now, weren't they?
Yes, yes.
But I got on very well with that. The other thing I used to use with this freezer thing was a tin of fruit, and strain the juice out, and then put a jelly in it, and let it freeze like that, and let that used to go bomb on that.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you couldn't watch do a lot of dough being or anything, not like that. So. There was no exercise in and that, and it'd be all quiet all day, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No, it was. You couldn't keep fit. You said before, everybody was very young, so it didn't really matter very much.
No.
Yeah, because you're all the age 20 something,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could go ashore. It wasn't worth going ashore not to drink a Malay, because when you went to the Naffy, you only got one pint of beer. For a fortnight, I think.
That's a bit tough.
Yeah, one point, that's all you could get. So, I had to be brought to other things. And we had a coloured crew on the city of Glasgow. And we used to lay our hammocks out on the upper deck. And there's one of the waiters, we have a bottle tonight, give him £1. And we had a bottle, as long as we throw the bottle over the side.
So the city of Glasgow was
a coal ship.
It was a coaling ship.
Yeah.
Right.
And she used to help out with the other one.
Yeah.
You see, the other one, I don't know what, the fourth, I don't think that come up there.
What, depot ship?
Yeah.
Ambrose? No. No, it was Ambrose was a shore establishment.
It was mostly
Adamant?
It might have been, yeah.
Yes, might have been Adamant. There was a fourth was out there, and the Adamant.
Yeah,
according to your service record, they were both out there.
Yeah.
And Wolf. What was Wolf?
Wolf.
Was that a depot ship?
Yeah, no. I think it was.
I've never heard of Wolf. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But we tried out, there was a chap there, they sometimes you put on the notice board, you could go up to a tea plantation to go around if you wanted a day's leave up there. You could do that, or go to Candy or something like that. And you go there, I tried Candy, and that was the Temple of the Tooth. You didn't get any bloody sleep. It was on all ding
dong. Well, making noise all night.
Yeah. And the fisherman was in the canal with a big round net, culling little fish, like about as long as that, and taking them and killing them for eating. And in Candy was the lake in the middle of the place, as big as Devonton Marketplace, and the damn fish were jumping that you could walk on them. They're sacred.
These were big carp, probably, yes.
Yeah, they all white wogs didn't touch them.
Yeah. But they made good eating, though. Pretty good.
But that's it. And we tried, what was it we tried then with? Oh, saw some of these mangoes. up in one of these parks there. We was ashore there, and had a look along, and there were some lovely big mangoes there on these bushes things, these trees. And I couldn't mind why nobody hadn't pinched them before. And we started knocking them on bait to knock them down. And all of a sudden they said, "Oi up, oi up, oi up." And we looked at them, and a damn nest of wasps, big ones, called they come and fight us to death. We didn't wait to see whether they stung or not. And on that, there's a romp of place there, like that.
So you then you moved from Cellini to Vivid.
Then to come back home.
Just to come back home on.
Yeah, yeah.
So really, you're on Cellini all the time. You're out really all the time. You're out there.
We were on the way to Australia when the Ajax packed up. We was going to Australia to be a training sub.
Yes. When what happened?
When the Japs packed up.
Oh, right. When the bomb was dropped.
Yeah.
Really, they surrendered. Yeah.
We turned around and come back.
Right. And then, so Vivid was just passage home then.
That's right.
So did you enjoy your submarine time?
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy more than surface ships, or was it just different?
Yeah, no. There's something about it somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know, it's that sort of thing. And of course, you were given some responsibility.
Oh.
That's another thing.
Yes, that was always the thing about submarines. Everybody had some responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
And you all depended on each other.
That's right.
And you knew each person was responsible.
That's right.
So there was a good whatever happened, there was always the togetherness,
that's
wasn't
right.
There?
Yeah. Even the shore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get thumped up somewhere.
There's always somebody coming to look after you. Yeah. Oh, first rule of submarines was always run ashore with the team and you look after each other.
That's
and
right.
Make sure you get back.
Yeah,
always
yeah.
count the people before you come back. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Definitely my favourite.
Well, I think we should call it a stop of that. We've been talking now for 2 hours about your surface ships and submarines, and I think you probably. Probably there's about another 5 days to go, probably, soon.
Yeah. I've got